talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. The biggest and most consequential congressional fight right now, pending bill, the infrastructure bill, there are two of them. One of them is the so-called hard infrastructure. It's already passed the Senate with 19 Republican votes, 50 Democratic votes, 69 people. Busted a filibuster. Even Moscow Mitch voted for it. A little over $1 trillion to rebuild our bridges and airports, water systems, some rural broadband in there, bridges. Put the trades to work. Put a lot of unions to work, a lot of union jobs, many hundreds of thousands of them at union wages, good benefits. You got to rebuild your country every once in a while. So why is it hung up? Hasn't passed the House, hasn't been introduced. Why is that? We have a progressive caucus in the House. It's a party within a party. They claim about 90 members, 60 of them basically are just doing it to keep progressives off their backs in their districts. But when push comes to shove, they're going to vote like Democrats. The other 30 are hardcore. The squad and Pramila Jayapal, the leader of it, and others, really the only one in the Senate is Bernie Sanders, although Sherrod Brown of Ohio sometimes goes that way, and sometimes Ron Wyden of Oregon. Well, they came out and they said they are not going to vote for the hardcore infrastructure until the so-called soft infrastructure, the $3.5 trillion, provides for Medicaid expansion, provides for tuition, 2 years tuition in community colleges, provides for child care, child tax credit, elder care, addresses climate change. It's all good stuff. All good stuff. That's being negotiated right now. Manchin said he'd do $1.5 trillion. Sinema wasn't going to yield at all on any tax increases to pay for it. It was held up. Now apparently they're negotiating a little under $2 trillion. The progressives are saying they won't do that, although they send inconsistent, and you know, as a negotiating tactic, maybe they will do it. The fight there is if they're in like nine things say that you want in it, and you're only going to be able to afford now four of them. Do you do all nine, but sunset them after a few years for cost reasons, or do you do four of them hardcore all the time? That's a fight right now. There are five sticking points in that negotiation between the progressives and the Democrats. One is that one of Medicare and Medicaid expansion. That's the one that Manchin is fighting back on. Another one is paid family leave. Democrats wanted 12 weeks, then they came down to four. I think Manchin is suggesting that they won't have it, or if they do, just like the child tax credit, it'll be means tested with a work requirement. This is Manchin, okay? And if you don't have his vote, it doesn't pass. That is what is happening. The issue of taxes on wealthy people and corporations, that was opposed by Sinema. She's now saying that maybe she would do a so-called billionaire tax where if you own stock right now, say in Google, and it went up astronomically, you know, you bought it for $1,000 and it's worth $50,000 now. You don't pay any tax on the increase of the value of it, certainly distributions that are made. Yeah, you pay income taxes on that, but not on the overall value of the stock. What this would do would be people who are billionaires or made $100 million a year for 3 years in a row would have their stocks taxed for the increase in the value. Okay. Now, how many people do you think are billionaires or made $100 million a year for 3 years in a row? Not a lot of them. And it would add hundreds of billions of taxes. And, you know, they avoid over $1 trillion every year. And the Republicans stop hiring new IRS agents so that there's not enough manpower to go after them because they hide their stuff. Well, believe it or not, Sinema and Manchin didn't like that. Now, how many people, I mean, I'm sure there are billionaires in Arizona and West Virginia or people that made $100 million a year for 3 years in a row, but how many do you think there are, frankly? And you think they vote Democratic? Are you kidding me? But now both of them are suggesting that maybe they go along with that. The real hook, the real hard one for me is that Manchin is opposing virtually any money to combat climate change. That's because West Virginia is a coal country. A lot of people have coal jobs. It's largely because Manchin owns a very large stake in a coal company. And he's lobbied to increase coal prices to the detriment of the people in his state who have to buy this stuff to heat their homes. Okay, I am going, so when the progressives now saying, and Bernie is saying he's not going to yield on any of this stuff. Okay, not going to yield on any of this stuff. Let me give you some polling data that will put this in perspective. Just came out. There is decreasing support for the soft infrastructure. In West Virginia, 53% of all voters in a poll, Republicans and Democrats to combine, so obviously more Democrats before it, more Republicans against, but 53% overall want to scrap the budget reconciliation totally. 53%. 32% say they want it. 16% are unsure. I got news for you. I do not believe that Manchin is going to yield on anything. Anything. When he's looking at 53% of his state as opposed to it. Anything. Let's go to Arizona. In Arizona, 47% of the voters do not want the budget reconciliation soft infrastructure. 47%. 37% yes want it. And again, 16% there also aren't sure. I do not believe that Sinema is going to yield on much. If you add the yeses and the uncertains, that is 53%, but you're not going to get all the uncertains to go for it. So she has a situation in Arizona where there's a fairly large plurality that don't want it. I think what she's trying to do is find some areas where she can throw a bone to the Democratic Party, but she somehow thinks that she's going to save herself in Arizona by opposing a lot of it. Here's the point. Pramila Jayapal and the progressives are not Democrats. They're progressives. They are the working families party. They call themselves Democrats because that's the only way they get elected. They routinely run candidates against Democratic congressmen and sometimes beat them. AOC beat a very good Democratic congressman. Ayanna Pressley in Boston did the same. And Cori Bush in St. Louis did the same. Conversely, they put up a very bad candidate, the progressive Nina Turner in Ohio, and we beat her. This is another party. These are not Democrats. You got to understand that. So everybody is going, oh, well, you know, the Democrats will come together. These aren't Democrats. This is a separate party like in Europe, and we've got to get used to that. Democrats don't run candidates as a party. Listen, they have their own whip. Believe it or not, it's Ilhan Omar, who compared American soldiers to the Taliban in Afghanistan and has voted against our country on a lot of votes. She's not representing the United States, and she's not representing Minnesota. She's representing her cultural tradition, and she's their whip. She's also the chair of the subcommittee for Africa and the Foreign Affairs Committee. She shouldn't be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. She should not be given confidential information. We have SEALs Delta Force and Green Berets operating in Africa. I don't want her knowing anything about them. I don't want her knowing anything about them. So this party is now saying that they're not going to vote for the hard infrastructure until the other one passes or there's an ironclad agreement. Hey, guys, there ain't going to be an ironclad agreement. The show you've got to listen to is Luke and Brian Dueling Tangents. They came up with a very clever solution. Luke, don't smirk. I'm praising you. Luke and Brian came up with the idea that maybe we make Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico states, or that we split up California or somebody else and get extra Senate seats. Hey, Luke, that ain't happening by 2022. You catch my drift, Luke? You catch my drift? You're young. You're enthusiastic. I'm older. I'm also very enthusiastic. I want to get this done. The point is, let's drop the pretense. Let's drop the pretense. We do not have all those votes in the Democratic Party. We have two parties, and the progressive, Pramila Jayapal, gave an interview to Rachel Maddow. She doesn't even like the hard infrastructure because it doesn't reflect her demographic in gender or race. She said that. She's not representing the United States. All right, we're going to a break. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. I'll get to the lines right after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.